The strange made familiar and the familiar made strange. Find a home in stories gathered together in year's best Aotearoa New Zealand Science Fiction and Fantasy Volume 3. Marie Hodgkinson selected some 22 stories for this latest celebration of short stories in both genres. But are science fiction readers in the mood for stories that relate in any way to the coronavirus nightmare the world's currently living through? I spoke to Terry Tatou, one of the writers, whose story in this collection has nothing to do with pandemics, but does relate to extinctions, and to Marie, who's been editing these anthologies for 3 years.
The first one, all those stories were published before the pandemic, and yet the writers were already reflecting an interest in those sort of stories of how we would deal with a world-changing event, either out in the world or from our little archipelago in the South Pacific. Those themes have continued throughout, you know, the last 3 years. And in this one, which, you know, the stories were written when we were already well over lockdowns and seeing the terrible news from around the world, I won't say that there's less writing about pandemics and about illnesses and viral contagion, whether of ideas or supernatural elements, but there's definitely a sense of optimism. There's a sense that people will get through somehow and that the individual choices we make as part of a collective can have positive results. It's not all doom and gloom.
Gosh, that's a relief. I mean, I wonder if that reflects the way that Aotearoa New Zealand has gone through the last 2 years, if you know what I mean. If you've been doing a collection in Sweden or Brazil or India or even the United States, it may well have been darker. Interesting.
I imagine that would be the case, that if things were different on the ground here, we would be seeing a whole different outlook represented by our writers.
I did notice in the collection something else. There's been a real groundswell of this over the last few years, which is cli-fi, climate-related fiction. In fact, we've had novels written about climate change in the last few years here in Aotearoa.
Yes, one story that I think speaks to that quite a lot in this third volume of the anthology is James Rowland's The Turbine at the End of the World, which presents a world post-climate change apocalypse. But in which people sort of have this culture built up around the idea that the world can still be saved, but without knowing what it is they're doing or why, or that it is too late.
I was thinking also of Renee Liang's story, The Waterfall, where we're in the midst of the great fire that destroyed most of the tree cover of Aotearoa. Quite a worrying read.
It was, and particularly in her story, what I keep coming back to is the openness of communication about, you know, the truth of what is happening to the climate and the world she's presented and how much people know about it or are allowed to know about it.
Teddy, I want to bring you in here. You're interested, and I'm taking this from the back of the book, in the intersection of, paraphrasing though, in the intersection of art, speculative fiction, Māturanga Māori and science. I'd love you to tell me more about this and how it relates to your story in the collection.
Well, I was really, really lucky to get to be involved in an internship program for Indigenous people who are working in genomics. And so over the last couple of years, I've been able to attend these hui where people come together, scientists, young researchers and iwi community organisers, to discuss gene editing tools and how those, what are some of the ethical things that we need to consider and how those align and can be supported by or managed through Indigenous knowledge.
So when you were approaching Kōhuia, your story, what were the themes that you were wanting to investigate?
I guess it's kind of a combination of some of these theoretical tools around gene editing, but alongside the history that we have embedded within the land. So it's set within Te Tāpiri Nui o Whātunga. It was a huge inland forest that stretched from the Wairarapa up into Hawke's Bay. And so that was destroyed by fires in the 1860s, systematically burnt out in order to create room for farmland. So as part of my research for this book, I was able to spend time at Pūkaha, which is the last extant area of that particular forest, and do research and annoy the rangers and that kind of thing. And so I guess the story is a combination of those two things, spending time in that particular place and also these possible tools that we could use, but need to be really careful. And
yeah, there's some ethical issues here that you reflect on in the collection. I mean, Order, your main character, is kind of put through the mill, isn't she, in many ways?
Yeah, she is. She ends up in quite an unexpected situation that she has to navigate. And so it's really around that kind of being confronted with how definitions of culture change within different contexts. So it's hard to talk about without giving away too much of the story.
I know. We're being very, very careful, aren't we? But certainly genomics have a role to play. Look, I'd love it if you could read an excerpt for us, please, from Kōhuia.
Cool. Okay, sure. Audio saw a faint impression in the blanket of moss that lay across the path, an outline created by the weight of a foot that had broken through to the mud. She crouched low, pushed aside ferns that brushed her face, and prompted the lens over her right retina to turn on. It brought the imprint into focus and filled in missing information, sketching out the faint outline of a person, someone taller than herself. She swiveled to look back down the trail and stiffened at the sound of rustling leaf litter. No one else could be this far in, she was pretty sure, not without her knowing about it. She'd been so careful. The blocker she had taken, the pill to keep Hedia out of her head, meant that no one could check in on her. The tree guarding the bones of Oriol's mother lay ahead, hidden behind a curtain of kareau. She'd left before dawn without a whisper to anyone, and by now they'd be worried that she wouldn't be back in time for the release. Night came early to the forest. A gust of wind with chill on its edges washed through the trees. The undergrowth crunched and snapped as Oriol pushed through the bush. Her eyes felt hot and dry. Finally, the giant they called her mother's tree stood above her. Oriol's lens adjusted to compensate for the dark. It allowed her to see the epiphytes carpeting the trunk, networked together in thick arteries and delicate veins. The waka kōiwi holding her mother's bones was visible from the ground, the deeply carved line standing out from the branches. By this time next year, the climbers would have it fully entombed. Her mother's tree was one of the oldest. It had seen the fires that destroyed Te Tāpiri Nui o Whātonga and had lived 200 years since. The tree rose high above the canopy, observing the forest as it crept outwards again, reclaiming the grassland through the work of planter bots and people. She instructed her lens to do a heat scan of the area. Fine silvery gridded lines appeared in front of her, tracing the ground surface and then the trees. The lines brushed over the different sized objects, kereru, kōkako and hihi. A large round body that she guessed belonged to a whēkō nestled into the gap in the trunk of her mother's tree. Her mum would like that it had chosen her tree. Oriol wished she could ask for it to scout around to find the person who had made that footprint.
Marie, just wanted to bring you back into the conversation. What do you think is the enduring appeal of sci-fi or speculative fiction, fantasy? I mean, there's a lot of fusion going on, but for readers and for writers like Terry?
There are lots of things that bring people to the genre as readers and writers, whether it's the appeal of the fantastic, the totally out there and unreal, or the ability through these stories to explore perhaps to more extremes or with a specific focus to explore things that we're experiencing in our own world. I'm particularly thinking of, you mentioned earlier, the interest in climate change that we see in these stories. And Terry just spoke about how the CRISPR research and so on has drawn her to write this story and explore those themes. So I think it's a way to look at the world that we're in and the things that concern us, worry us or excite us. You know, it's not always about, you know, the things that are sort of dark on the horizon. It can be about things that are wonderful and exciting as well. It allows us to explore those. Maybe go a bit weird with it, have a bit of fun and see how the future might look or how we might look given different options.
I was thinking too that there is, as with Terry's story, a real connection with the land and of here. I mean, often sci-fi is set in other planets and other galaxies far, far away, you know, which is fun. But there's a real New Zealandness, and even the first story, I mean, it's a little story. It's almost flash fiction, New Zealand Gothic. Jack Cottrell's story at the start of the collection is very of here and political. It's got you glance at listings of vacant houses to rent. The moment you look closer, they are occupied. They have always been occupied. I mean, it's a very political little story.
Yes, it's very much about us right now. And, you know, the story was first published last year, but this year it's just as, if not more relevant, unfortunately. Yeah.
And Terry, with your writing too, I mean, yours is very much here at home, as you say, you know, this place with which you have a strong connection, this bush. Is that important to you? Would you rather write of here than of distant galaxies and planets?
I'm really interested in the kind of relationships that are formed between people and species, and I guess that extends to land as well. But I would also love to write a story in space. But I guess for me, it's I can see it and touch it and be in it, and for me that's easier to write. But space is cool too.
It sure is. Terry Tatou, Anne-Marie Hodgkinson, Year's Best Aotearoa New Zealand Science Fiction and Fantasy, Volume 3, is published by Paper Road Press.